Hiya pal, and welcome back to the Chatty Freelancer podcast, the home of creative honesty. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Scott Gordon, a brand designer and founder of Pure Good Graphics, based right here in Glasgow. But what makes Scott's story so interesting is that for the past 15 years, Scott has been a secondary school teacher. And after self-teaching himself brand design, Scott decided to take the leap into freelancing in 2023. Since then, he has been building something he's really proud of alongside his teaching career. In this episode, we're meeting Scott at the Brawee Craft Club to chat about career pivots, what it's like to be self-taught in the creative industry, the realities of early freelancing, and why sometimes the most important thing you can do is simply decide to change your story. So without further ado, let's go meet Scott for a chat. Scott, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. Before we get stuck into your topic of this episode, my first question for you is, since you are a secondary school teacher, what were you like as a student in high school?
Great start.
Perfectly like shows off the type of person that you might be.
I think I had two sides to me. In certain places I was a certain type of student.
Right.
If I didn't really wasn't that interested, I maybe wasn't great. But the areas like graphics and design and making stuff, I was the model pupil, always finished first and wanted to be finished first. Not so much in other areas. Strangely enough, areas that you would think would overlap. It's like art. That's like a nightmare on that. I don't know why. I probably really like it now.
A bit
of a mixed bag, as my parents would probably tell you.
Yeah. Where did you go to school?
I was at Greenfields High School. So changed days, that completely different building now, but that was the school I went to.
Yeah. I was when I was thinking about myself at high school, I think I was like a weirdo. I didn't really have like one group of friends. I kind of like went between people, and I wasn't like an amazing student, but I wasn't like a bad student. I was just
the grey man.
A student. Chloe. that people. But I loved art. I did PE, I think, and I did a crashed hired graph com.
Right, okay.
I had never done it. I did not do it as a standard grade, and then I was like, I just want to try graphics. And then I went, and it's not what you think it is.
Nah, not at all.
It's all product design. And I was like, this is not what I signed up for.
I
thought I was going to be doing posters.
It's the same way, even the graphics course I did, it was nothing to do with like graphic design. It was all very technical and doing drawings and stuff. Again, showing my age, but that was kind of like, it was on the drawing boards, the stuff I enjoyed doing, which kind of led me to where I went after school.
So you left and you went to uni and you did an architecture degree, is that right?
Yep.
Interesting. And then you went into secondary school teaching for 15 years, is that right? Why did you feel, like, why did you start that career? Like, what was that experience like for you?
I mean, the architecture thing, if I'm being brutally honest, was like one of those, do you know, you've done those career quizzes and like... And social, and it was like, and it was very much down the route of the highest paid job you could do if you like doing graphics like that. Is it? So I done architecture, and I went, and day one I kind of already knew that it probably wasn't like, there was folk in my architecture course that knew who their favourite architect
was.
And I was like, And again, I was never all that passionate about buildings and that kind of thing. I just really liked design, and I liked the craft, if you like, of design. So it probably wasn't ever going to work, and then when I finished architecture, but I really enjoyed architecture at uni. I didn't really enjoy architecture when I went out into practice, so that's when I kind of pivoted and thought, right, teaching. My sister's a teacher. Kind of half fell into that as well, to be honest, but it worked straight away, so I was like, right, okay, maybe this is where I was meant to be, this is what I should be doing. At the time, and for a long time I kind of felt like that. And then just within the last couple of years, it's kind of changed slightly.
But did you go to once? Have you worked in a couple of schools, or did you go like to one school and that was you?
No, I've been in a few schools. So I was, you do like your probation year. I done my probation year through in West Lothian, school in Whitburn Academy. And then I done, I was 8 years at a school in Livingston, which again was a bit of a commute. And then when I had my first kid, I then moved closer home, so I got a job in Grangemouth, which is where I currently am.
Manic in the Woods.
There you go.
Yeah. So. It's funny, I actually met someone on Wednesday night who's from the Bogue. Do you know who the
Bogue is? Well, I've heard of it.
The borders of Grangemouth. Yeah. And I was like, everyone I'm meeting right now, it's like from like Falkirk area, or like goes to Falkirk area. So you've been secondary school teaching, and you said that a couple of years ago you kind of
found yourself thinking about something else. So what was that, what was that turning point for you where you're like, I've done secondary school teaching for this amount of time, I'm ready and want to do something different?
I think it was a kind of natural thing that that probably happened. I thought my first kind of years in teaching, I worked with a couple of people that were kind of like-minded, and it was a really good atmosphere, and I really enjoyed that. But then the more and more I realised that, like, my favourite thing about teaching was making resources. Making presentations, making stuff, and I always thought, right, okay, what I really need to do then is go and build teaching for the whole of Scotland, go and make all these resources and all that. But ultimately, at the kind of bit of the truth is, when you're showing stuff to people, like, you know, let's say on a good day, 50% of the people actually want to listen to you and care about what you're making. And what I was finding was I was making resources that kids couldn't replicate. They couldn't get anywhere near it. And I was thinking, and then everybody, you know, you should do this. You should do this on the side. You should do that. Like, kind of thing. So that's where I kind of started, I guess, teaching myself how to do branding, how to design graphics, how to do graphic design generally, but kind of with a focus on branding. I really love, always been fascinated with logos and logo design, and I liked a lot of logo designers, which kind of was totally different from architecture, where I just didn't know anybody. Whereas I was like, I've got some idols here, I know, I want to do what they're doing, like that's, and then that's
was this
where it went
like
from.
Before you started secondary school teaching, or was this when you were doing
this is
teaching?
Kind of while I was doing it, so like, it's like higher graphics, you teach higher graphics, and I would do a whole logo design unit, not part of the course at all. But I would just
where were you when I was at school?
The thing is, I was just getting kids to do it just as building portfolio, like as in, well, when you go to try and apply places, this would be good to show people. And the problem was, I was like getting in that way more than they were, and then I'm sitting like, I'm like, you know, I'm actually busy at the moment, I can't help you. Like, totally the wrong mindset with it. But and that's all the stuff I used as portfolio when I first started PureGrid. I just rehashed all my exemplar work the kind of senior kids in graphics. And I was open and honest about it, that they're all passion projects, like nothing was real.
But still,
that's kind of how you need to start.
You're showing the skill as well. So like, at what exact point did you like take the leap?
It was, I think it was like 2022. I basically just started building the website. That was my first point. I thought, all good businesses need a website. They must have a website. So I'm like, right, okay, I'll go and start building that, and I'll start uploading my stuff. And it was at that point I kind of started putting stuff on social media as well.
How did you feel in that moment? Because obviously, like, being in, like, school and stuff, and then, like, putting yourself online, is, like, how was that?
It's kind of, it's a bit of a tricky area, because obviously I've got, like, professional standards that I need to meet in terms of teaching, and you know, I want to maintain those. But I was never really worried about what people thought of my work. I was probably more just kind of aware of, like, for want of a better term, dad on social media. Like, I was, like, a bit late to it. I'd never used Instagram at all, personally. Like, I just, and then all of a sudden, you kind of thrust it into this world where you need to. You kind of need to be out there. You need to showcase your work and show your process as well. That's another big thing that I'm trying to get better at. But, I just kind of done it. I wasn't ready, but I just kind of done it. And I think that's a massive thing, I think. You just need to
jump in.
And then deal with what happens.
And like, was everyone around you supportive? Like, did you tell your pupils and stuff?
Kinda. Even now, I'm still kind of dubious. I'll tell certain ones. Because they, like, the kids are bright enough and savvy enough to know, right, well, he's not working X days anymore. What's happening here?
Where is he?
What are you doing? And you know, I didn't want them to think I'm just on a jolly having a day off. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm absolutely fine. So I was kind of, and it's quite good to bring it in as well. Sometimes when you're teaching certain things, you can kind of bring a little bit of your, what happens with most teachers is they bring their previous experience. Like, if they've had a job before teaching, and then they can bring that in. That's always what happened with me. I used to be and that's where we did this, and that's the real world. Whereas I can kind of bring in what I'm actually currently doing.
So
it's quite good.
Then
you get some kids that respond to that, some kids are like, whatever.
Yeah, they
don't. Sure, mate, yeah, cool.
You're a logo designer,
Not much money in that, is there? But it's, I think, like, it's when it comes to it, when you're obviously deciding to make the leap, I think, like, there's so much people out there that are really positive with it, in terms of they say, just share and see what happens. And I'm so easily influenced by many folk out there that do it this way, do it that way. I'm just like, I think I'm like a motivational speaker's dream. Like, I go and I'm like,
sponge.
100%. And then, like, I'm like, and as soon as I see them, I'm like, right, let's go.
Yeah.
Whereas I tend to, I've not really, to be honest, I've not really experienced any negative yet. I mean, I'm sure it'll come at some point, but yeah. So I'm currently not all that fussed about sharing. I'm quite happy to
just be get an out open there. Book and, yeah. It's really inspirational in terms of like having a career for that long in a certain place and then being like, I'm just gonna try this new different thing. And like you were saying as well, you were self-taught. So like, how did you self-teach yourself? Like what were you using? Like were you doing it during class time? Were you doing it after class? Like how did you self-teach yourself? Because a lot of like from my experience, I went and got a design degree. I know a lot of people don't do that. They do self-teach themselves. Yeah. And I actually started self-teaching myself with a Wacom tablet before I applied for college and uni. How did you self-teach yourself?
I mean, mine was, I was in school, I was like, whenever there was an issue with like software or whatever, like I just felt as if I need to know the software inside and out.
Yeah.
So in doing that, like you're constantly on YouTube, Instagram, that type of thing, all these tutorials and all that stuff. And I just put that down as, you know, CPD time. That was the time that I was developing the curriculum and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, yeah, probably was teaching myself already when I was still teaching.
Yeah.
And then, again, it's sort of like I've paid and went and done a couple of courses that are like by graphics. So Made by James has got loads of really good courses.
Yeah, he's great.
And they're all online and
yeah.
He's all about kind of empowering the creative. So I was like, right, well, these aren't all that expensive for mm-hmm. me to go and do them at night or for me to just... at my leisure, because there wasn't at that point. I was still full time teaching, so I had
a fair
bit of kind of flexibility in terms of, well, what do you want to spend your time doing?
Yeah,
watching Netflix or go and try and learn this skill or whatever. So that was where it started. But I'll be honest as well. I've learned so much just doing it.
Yeah,
like that's been like a lot of the other side of freelancing, not the creative side, not the talent side, not the actual the business side and the marketing and all that kind of stuff. It's just been a bit of a kind of.
Just try it.
Yeah, just get in there and see what happens.
Learn by other people. Because I've learned a lot from just like being around other people who are also doing it. And like also like there's so much valuable stuff online. Yeah. Like there's so many people that I follow that share like, you know, how to do this, how to do that. Yeah. Or like how to set up your business banking, for example.
Yeah. Yeah,
like just those wee things you don't think about. Like everyone's like, can't wait to design. And then it's like,
Oh,
yeah, moment, yeah. I need to do my tax return. I need to do my accounting. I need to set myself up on company's house. Like, there's all those little bits. Insurance as well. Like, that's one thing I've been meaning to do and I still haven't bloody done.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's a kind of headache. So, coming from, school and you've got a lot of structure, I imagine, of, like, you start at this time, you finish at this time, your classes are at this time, you're doing this at this time, to freelance, which is very much like totally the opposite. How have you adapted to that? Like, what's been the kind of biggest shock to you from going from that world to this world?
Yeah, so I would have said before starting that I'm really good at time management. So I would have said, oh no, I'm 100%, I'm on this. Like for my teaching, I've got loads of experience in this because you've got to make sure the lesson's on time. And then I quickly realised, no, actually, I don't have a clue. I've got no control whatsoever. And I very much lived by period by period. So it's almost like 50, not even an hour.
Mm.
Like when you're teaching, it's 50-minute blocks. Mm-hmm. So you're never having to do the same thing for more than 50 minutes. Whereas what I find... me, I don't know whether you're the same, but see, when you get in a project, you almost sometimes get in a zone.
Yes.
And then when you get in the zone, you're like, I need to stay in this lane right now because I'm being so productive right now.
If that's 50 minutes or if that's 5 hours.
Yeah, you need to just keep blocked in because you don't know where. If you leave that, even for like lunch, that's really bad. But even for lunch, I'm like, right, I really need to just keep battling on with this because I'm in a good place. And if I stop this and try and pick it up again, it might end up taking me double the time or more. So I'm like, right, just... But so I've found that, like, that's quite tricky
In
terms of, like, trying to go, right, well, actually, do you know what? When you woke up this morning and you'd done your time blocking, that's not what it said. But you just kind of need to roll a little bit more with the punches. I think, like, if push came to shove, I think there's things I could probably do better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at the moment, I'm managing to just kind of do it as it comes and work it. But yeah, so I would have thought I would be good at time management. But I think I've still got a bit to learn.
It's different when you've got like an external structure, like somebody telling you what your structure is, and then to have an owning your own structure. Is like I'm the same. I time block my calendar. Do I go by it? Absolutely fucking not. Nah, I don't. Yeah. It's good prompts though. Like it'll prompt me and it'll remind me, like, oh, you said you were going to do this thing today. Okay, sit down and do it. Yeah. And then sometimes I'm at the desk for a few hours and sometimes I'm like 15 minutes and I'm like, I'm so bored and I'm not in the zone.
Aye,
and I need to go do something else.
It's not happening today.
Yeah.
You need to pivot.
But that's like a privilege of freelancing, I think, is that like, I can imagine at school you were like, get class, I'm actually a wee bit bored. I'm going to just go out for a walk.
Oh, I love that. I would love that. That would be so good. I'm actually not feeling it today. So this isn't going how I was going. So I'm just going to go for a walk. Oh, I would love that. I think they would love that as well. We're just not feeling it today, sir.
But that's like, that is like a good side to freelancing, is that you are in control of your time. And that's a great thing, because you can just go and do something to get out your head and out of the space you need to be in. Yeah. You can't do that when you're in like, say, for example, secondary school teacher role. Like, you can't just walk out.
You need to just power on.
You need to power on and be
and
like...
It's probably not the most productive way of things. Like, even, you know... Even like looking at education the way it is, you know, you're learning this time.
Yeah.
Like you'll know yourself, sometimes you work better at night.
Exactly.
Whereas kids don't have that chance. It's like, unless you're doing homework or you're doing studying or whatever. No, you're up at 9 and you'll start at 9 and we're expecting you to be on the money at 9.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I mean, I'm not like that sometimes. Like,
so you expect kids to be like that.
Yeah, it's
quite
tricky.
That must be tough to see as someone who knows that that's a thing and then you're teaching that thing and you're like, I know this is not going in any of those ears, but it's they're not here. Like, that must be like, I've done a couple of workshops with students in uni and even just doing them I can see sometimes I'm like, there's a few people
they're
just like,
you in the back.
I'm thinking about my lunch or whatever, I couldn't be bothered with this. So that must be hard to see, because like, you're so passionate about something.
I think it's like you, nowadays in teaching, you feel like you're more like a bit of a salesperson as much as you are like an educator. You're like, you need to sell what you're teaching.
It must have helped with
I think it does, a big time. 100%. Even in terms of, like, I think when I came into doing Pure Good and starting a brand design studio and that type of thing, I think the big thing I had in the locker that a lot of probably newer folk that maybe went to uni, and that is that communication. I already was like quite confident presenting, confident talking to people, even like on meetings and stuff. Like, my wife always commented, because she's kind of works from home as well, and she's sitting next to me, she's like, you switch that on then. Like I was like, it's just like natural when you talk to folk. Like, I think you just become a slightly better communicator in terms of speaking and getting your point across, and then also even reading faces as well. If you're like I can see this client isn't getting what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. I need to change the angle here, or I need to change how I'm explaining this. Even in terms of things like process and even before you're actually started working.
You're
not sales, but you're kind of on a discovery and they're meeting you and you're meeting them and you're seeing if there's a connection there. So, so the communication aspect of teaching is a big bonus. It definitely helps.
Yeah, because like, you know, obviously this is a bit later in your career that you've decided to do this, whereas like, so I can imagine, like, is it nice to think of like, okay, this has served me well and set me up perfectly for now this new venture? And like, because I felt like that, because I worked in hospitality for, 5 years, and I was like a supervisor and all that. And then at the time, I was like, this is not what I want to do. Like, I want to do something else, blah, blah, blah. But now looking back on it, I'm like, I'm so thankful for that experience, because I'm able to be better at communicating, I'm able to switch on, and I'm able to do this, and I'm able to do that, and I'm like, that's actually helped me, because you need certain skills to be a freelancer, I think
so, definitely. Certain set of skills.
you need like mental skills, like people reading skills.
Yeah,
people
definitely.
Like that, people reading skills is like essential, because you're right, if you're having like a presentation with a client, you're like, oh, I can see that they're really not liking this.
This is not going down well,
This is not going down well. But then also, you need to be that person that's going to bring it out in them what they want and be a mind reader as well as a people reader. Like, it's absolutely nuts. So I wonder, like, do you feel like those, like, your experience in secondary school teaching has essentially helped you be this now? Like,
yeah, I think so. Now I do. Now you've told me.
Definitely.
I think it's one of these ones. It's sometimes you don't always make the link, and you can kind of look at something that you did do, and you went, "Well, I left that for a reason." But I think there's always that process where it's built you towards the point that you're at.
Yeah.
Even in terms of, you know, higher order questioning. Like, yeah, that's all, but that's what discovery is. Like, yeah, when, I mean, when you do, when I'm on with a client for the first time, I'm speaking to people, like, you're trying to get as much information in a short space of time as you can without being overbearing, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, without, like, because some people just aren't ready. Like, they maybe don't have the answers you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to kind of ask it maybe in a slightly different way. So I think there is, there'll be massive bits that they've been teaching for a certain amount of years that means that I think has helped me.
Yeah.
Maybe even just kind of not me realizing the exact links, just made it more, oh, this has been successful.
Yeah.
Oh, how's that happened?
Yeah,
it's one of those ones where you're like, well, I think it has actually been a decent bearing in terms of in building up skills. Yeah. So
You've got to be thankful for those things. So you you said something in your kind of your application to come on to podcast, and I absolutely loved it. You said, just do something to change your story rather than sitting and waiting. Where on earth does that confidence and that mindset come from? Because I feel like maybe a lot of people don't have that sort of like, fuck it, like, I need to change this. Where did that come from?
Not sure. Because my wife used to say, she asks the same question, like, she says that's one, like, a good quality of me, not many, but a good quality
come on.
Of me. Like, she's like, do you know what? Like, she always says, I know this will work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, well, why are you so confident? I wish I was that confident. But and she was like, I'll just know you'll just make it work. Like, you're just going to do it. And then all of a sudden, and at the same time, like, my family say it as well. Scott, he always lands on his feet. And it's that one, is like, well, you maybe make your own luck a wee bit. Like, and speaking about it just earlier, like manifesting, like, it won't be any other way. This will work.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, sometimes as well, like, you tell yourself that and you're maybe not 100% confident in yourself, but you're saying it out loud. And people be like, well,
you said that, so
you seem quite confident.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, I think so. So I think I'm not 100% sure where, like, that confidence comes from. I guess maybe just there is no other alternative. I'm like, well, because when I was teaching, and as I was saying earlier, you know, you start to kind of think, what else am I going? What else could I do? What else? Where's the skills transferable? Whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, oh, agency, you're never going to go, you've not got the qualifications that to be, what could you potentially do? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the freelancing was the only way I could go in terms of, if I wanted to design, you could just build it yourself, have your own business. And yes, there's risk associated with that, but the bigger risk for me is not doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably like sitting and just waiting and just teaching your whole life and then, you know, walking away at the end of it and went, okay, it's okay, and I got some challenge and some reward in that, but it wasn't what I really wanted to do. It never fulfilled me kind of creatively. So I think it's probably the risk of not doing it was bigger than the risk of doing it. And then it's just a case of going for it.
I love that because it's hard to get to that place though where you feel like you can think like that or do that. Like, as I said, like, I put the chat freelancer out there before I even knew what it was going to be. I was like, I just need to do this. I want to be someone who talks and communicates and is chatty, but I also want to be a freelancer. Yeah. So at the end of uni, I was just like, chatty freelancer, right, okay, now I need to hold myself up to that. Now I need to actually do it. I'm like, oh my God.
Design the brand and then work about how you get to it.
Literally, like, it was so backwards. So good, but it really helped with me and like just like doing it and changing the story and not feeling like scared or nervous to like take that leap. So I went straight into freelancing after uni. And I was like, if I'm not going to do it now, what's the worst that can happen? Like, if I don't, I'm going to regret not doing it more than regretting doing it. And so I'm like with you on that bandwagon. Something else you also mentioned was that your kids are some of your motivators. So what do you hope that they take from seeing you sort of pivot and change your career a wee bit later on in your career? Like, how do they motivate you? Because I think that's really lovely.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones, like, I wasn't like overly emotional towards that or anything like that. I just wanted to be like a role model of just go and get it, if you know what I mean. Like, so, I mean, I'm a teacher, and my one kid's at nursery, one about to start school in August, and my other kid's in like P3. So they know what teachers are. They know, like, they've got an idea of it. Okay, I know what your job is. You're working with the kids, whatever. But I also wanted to be like, well, you can also do something else if you want. Like, you don't need to stick with what lane people tell you you're in, if you like. And I think that was probably the main driver. Even in terms of, like, again, my daughter, like, she likes the stickers and that, and she's very much the driving force behind a lot of the unicorn and stuff like that. But like my son's like, so he's like, oh, pure good's the best thing. Like, he's like, oh, pure good's amazing. And he goes into the office and writes these wee things like, pure good is doing so well and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, genuinely, it's up. And then he started doing like bubble texts and all that. Like,
happening.
There we go, it's happening.
The influence is happening.
Yeah, and like all that kind of stuff. And again, I don't get overly emotional with it. I get more, like, good, he's seen that. He's actually seen, do you know what? You've just come up with this. Just like, even pure good, the name, like, when I came up with that, it was like on a whim. Never really thought about it. It was kind of Scottish, so I was going with that. I wasn't thinking at all that, you know, I would be working with clients that weren't Scottish, and then I'm like, does that translate? Does that even, like, so and even like working with people like in America or whatever, and you're like, do you guys, like, have you guys got the same, what I'm saying about pure good? Like, pure good's like pure anything, pure amazing, pure brilliant, pure rubbish, that kind of thing. I think it even says that on my website, like, why pure good? No one wants pure crap. Like, I'm like, so bad. Like, but yeah, so, and again, the kids just latched on to it. So they're aware of what it is. I mean, I certainly wear the hats and all that.
Yeah,
jazz,
they're
so,
like, you're wee groupies,
yeah,
all
exactly,
of it.
Yeah, so, and yeah, they are. They're amazing, like, number one fans.
Yeah, you need that.
But yeah, but even to the same extent, my wife as well, she's really supportive of what I'm doing, like, obviously, even in terms of financially, going, like, reducing the teaching and picking up a freelance role, which is very,
as we all know,
up and down, it's peaks and troughs.
It is.
But even then, like, I think she sees it in the kids that they appreciate what it is, and they go, oh, do you know what? Like, he's showing them at least you can go and chase whatever dreams you might have, whether they're your work, your job, or whatever, basically. Yeah, so.
That's sweet. Yeah. I love that. I love it because you need a support network. Like, you need to be able to survive in this freelance life.
Oh, yeah,
you need people around you. So we're now moving on to the most important question of the podcast, Scott, which is a question I ask all my guests, and that is, what is your favourite movie and the tastiest pie that you ever had? Now, this can be a film that you've watched recently. It can be your all-time favourite. It can be literally anything. So the floor is yours.
We'll go with the movie first.
Go for it.
Go for the movie first. I'll try not to go too. I've got quite a lot of obscure movies that I quite like. But they're not obscure as in, like, I'm not like we're talking like I was born in 85, so like a 90s child.
That's
I'm going to go Terminator 2.
Ooh, literally, like.
Yeah, it's very much action. All action, all. But again, what I love about it, like, it's like fantasy, but not like. Else and fairies fantasy.
And all that.
Fantasy as in the future world. And everything is gone. Like, I'm like, oh, I love that.
Proper sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. Is and then like even favorite? I think at the start of Terminator 2, I can't remember the exact year. It's like, I think it's like 2039.
Oh, God.
I've seen it on my Instagram. And I was like, oof, I've not got much time left. I'm going to need to quickly get everything wrapped up.
Is that the one where it starts with, Sarah Jane Connor? Is that the one where she's like at a fence and like she sees the whole world
and
getting like
and then the fire.
Is that Terminator 2?
Yeah, that's Terminator 2.
That scene really stuck.
So I don't know what year
head.
It was out. I'm not that into the movies, but I love movies and I'm pretty sure I was not of age
to
watch that when that was out. Like, I think it was my uncle that used to show me these movies and I think probably my parents were like, do you know what, they'll take them overnight, they take what they get. Like, and then, you know, but I was never really nightmares or anything like that. I was very much just in it. I was very much a wee guy that liked playing with toys and these worlds and fighting and shooting and all the bad things.
That's all right. I mean, I did that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I loved toy soldiers.
Yes. G.I. Joe's. G.I. Joe's.
Nice. Yeah. Terminator 2 is good. Terminator 2 is good. I've not seen them in a wee while, actually. They might be doing a wee rewatch.
Full. I think there's like, seven of them on or something. That's insane. But I think, you just watch the first couple.
Where's the one where he breaks the guy's arm and he's doing an arm wrestle? Is that Terminator 1?
I can't remember. I think that may be the
first one.
The first one, even like that. I think I enjoy that more when I'm older because there's not a liquid metal guy in that one.
That's not
that interesting. Come on.
It's the second one where her son, they're chasing her.
So they're chasing John Connor.
He's
on the dirt bike and all that.
Class. Let's watch. I'm gonna watch that this weekend. Your tastiest pie you've ever had?
Right, so I'm going to go really, really basic, just a Scotch pie, but my big thing is I like pie and beans.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very much pie and beans with football. Love
it. Yeah, yeah.
But it was my... And now, again, I was always a Heinz beans guy. Very much a
Have you changed your beans?
Well, just for this specific pie. Right, just for having pie and beans. And everyone can go away and try the Branson beans.
Branson beans. The black.
Yeah, the black can. Yeah. And it's they're nothing to do with Branson pickle or Branson. Like, it's just the Branson but beans. Their beans on a pie. Dynamite.
10 out of 10.
And that was my father-in-law that kind of introduced me to that one. I think he brought the wrong beans one day. And he was like, no, these are brilliant. I'll genuinely try them. And then now I'm like, you know, I'm buying into it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, actually, but just on a pie, not on toast.
Branson beans are now sponsoring this episode.
There we go.
Branson beans. Great choices. Yeah. No, I am a, pie and beans kind of gal. Like,
also, I feel I should give the best steak pie that I've had is near me at the Scarecrow in Coastline. I feel like it's a good very, very good steak pie. And I'm a big steak pie. That is like the steak pie, the meat is in the pot and then the pastry's just kind of laid on top.
So it's like a stew,
so it's not like a full lids. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's tasty.
But very good, I would recommend that.
Well, I'll be going there as well.
No,
the Scarecrow, I love the Scarecrow, it's great. So we're working our way towards the end now, Scott. What is on the horizon for Pure Goods? What's happening? What are we doing? Any projects coming out? Anything exciting?
In terms of like, I'm continuing to build to reduce teaching and increase freelancing. In August, I'm kind of taking another day from teaching and adding it to Pure Goods. So we're growing. We're growing. Mm-hmm. We're increasing what I can do in terms of output. And it's one of those ones where it's similar to what we said. It's a bit of a risk. But you need to keep it growing. And I got a couple of projects on the horizon, a couple of bits and pieces that I'm working on at the moment. That again, they're kind of, it's like building momentum.
I don't know
if you feel like that sometimes, where you're like, right, I've got one project in. It's almost like sometimes you've got no projects. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to come to you. Whereas if you get three or four, you feel like they're chapping the door, and you're like having to turn folk away. And I'm like, no, never turn anybody away. So there's a couple of things, and there's also a couple of areas. Again, I've heard everyone's got their own opinion whether you need to niche. I'm quite happy to niche in terms of my own brand. Like, I'm going down a very kind of specific route, but I also love doing like stuff that's totally out of wheelhouse. Like, even the project that's recently finished is a bit more kind of out with what I would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy the process and really enjoy the challenge. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, I don't know if I want a niche and just be the guy that's known for doing the same thing all the time. I want to be like, kind of have that creative freedom. I think that's the, maybe look for areas that I've not worked on. That might be.
Yeah, I love all your branded stuff. It's not as class. Especially your personal, like the Pure Goods stuff is so fun. Like all your stickers, all your hats. I need to get shit like this. I don't have any chat feelings. It's like, you're inspiring me. I don't have anything like this. And I'm like, I need to get this
bandwagon. In terms of like it's not expensive to get a lot of this kind of stuff. Like, there's loads of places that do, and you're like, very much. I'm a bit order happy, to be fair. I need to maybe rein it in a little bit. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Oh, more stickers. There we go. Who are you giving them to? No one.
I want just them. The laptop. Yeah, exactly. So my last question for you, Scott. If there was somebody listening to this who was maybe exactly where you were a couple of years ago, in a full-time role doing something that they weren't necessarily wanting to do forever, and they were kind of keen on maybe trying something else and thinking about making a change, what would you say to them?
I guess you won't be ready.
Yeah.
You're never going to be ready to start, so you just need to start.
Yeah.
What is it? Was that a really good quote I love? It was like Zig Ziglar or something that said it. And it was, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great.
Yeah.
And I sort of love it. Like, I'm 100%, that's like my, right, just keep going with that. Keep going with that. Because I think like this, I thought I had to do it as well. Like, I started building the website and I was like, right, I need to get all my contracts in place. Right, I need to do. Right, I need to get all my like kind of templates ready to go before I start any work. And I can't possibly do any work
until I've got them ready.
And I realised that's not going to work. Like, you need to find out on the job in terms of also what works for you. That would be another bit of advice. Find what works for you, because not everything you see, like, there's loads of support and loads of people online tell you how. And to be fair, most of the people I follow and I get inspired by are telling you how they do it. They're not saying this is how you need to do it.
Mm.
But I think you need to find your own rhythm and your own mm-hmm. way of working and your own the things you like doing, the things that bring you success, I think is important, rather than focusing on, you know, oh, well, he said I need to do it this way and he's really,
yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
So I must then do my way. Version of that.
Yeah.
So that, again, that'd be a bit of advice. I'd probably say find your own vibe and stick with it.
And
run with it and see what it takes.
Yes, great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you very much
for having me. Yeah, you're very, very welcome and love everything that you're doing and yeah, keep doing it. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate that.
Thank you so much to Scott for coming on and chatting with me today. Honestly, what a story. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. If you want to check out Pure Good Graphics or connect with Scott, I've added all the links in the description below. Definitely go give him a follow. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't be shy. Give it some love. You can follow the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to see some exclusive content, then you can join my Patreon. The link is also in the description below. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day and I'll chat with you soon.
Say hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
No, whatever.
Hi, friends. I'm Greg.
And I'm Ross.
And we run Scottish Creative Network.
We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Chatty Freelancer podcast.
We are very proud to be the sponsors of said podcast and the hosts of monthly creative events here at the Social Hub.
Join us every month to meet your creative community and join us for our signature creative chaos.
Signature? That sounds fancy.
It is what we do.
Anyway, you can grab a discount code below.
Oh wait, I was making a stupid face.